Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
In the process of sadhana and as an spiritual aspirant, how we have heard many times from you, Gurudev, the importance of satsang. I see around many spiritual aspirants from different traditions or different sadhanas, types of sadhana. And since Guru Purnima is coming, so it just came to my mind, and you have always told us about that, about three most important things that an someone in the path to liberation conditions. But how does that work? I'm just curious because I see so many people doing so many types, so many sadhanas, so many ways, even Christians. For example, my mother, a few days ago, I heard that you gave a new initiate, Jesus Christ, and it was very beautiful to hear that because I said, oh, this is a wonderful mantra for my mother. So how do you, and I have heard this from you too, how do you come to see, to actually realize that satsang is such an important, or the most important, in my experience, being the most important part of the sadhana. So how do you really realize that little part? Is it just karma? I don't like to speak about karma that way, so easy said, but...
Correct, I understand. Answer is karma and upasana, which means people are already following a faith. Sometimes you might have done sadhana in your previous life to a certain degree, or you have followed a certain faith sincerely. So you have not come here completely like a blank sheet. So that one point, no one is a blank sheet. I'm not talking sheep. And it is another point, those who are very fortunate, they adopt a well-planned method for sadhana. Fortunate means if they are good karmas, etc., they become deeply involved, which means if you want to learn something profoundly, you go to a teacher who knows that. If you want to be a good musician, find an expert musician and they be inspired by it. If you are not, then just go on with any song and go on dancing with it. You may gain popularity, but it will not be qualitative. Similarly, you may go on doing all types of sadhana, and you may also get lot of power, fame, but not nirvana, not liberation. But when you are well set in your sadhana, with sincerity, practicing integral yoga in daily life, well set again is a matter of practice. There will be always deviation as long as you are a human being with limitations of body and circumstances. There will be ups and downs. But in spite of all that, if you continue, sustain yourself through adversity, prosperity, and continue a style of sadhana day by day, and have satsanga go on giving you food for thought, then you are well set and you have nowhere else to go but to Brahman, stuck with Brahman.
Swamiji, You were talking about the different shis from the physical body to the kausal to the cave of the heart. So I would like to for you to explain and talk a little more the differences and the similarities between a mind. So what is mind and how the movements of mind in relationship with ego or the intellect, the subtle differences? How can we describe mind and ego and what makes it together, what not? And then what is consciousness? And thank you.
First point to understand that you are always facing a teachery, a mix-up, just like I have a cake before me. I don't know how much is protein and where it is hiding, how much is sugar and how does it look. They're all together. But nevertheless, if you are health conscious, you have something that makes you figure out how much, where to stop. In other words, as you practice sadhana in satsanga, then you see the difference between just going after sense pleasure and having the possibility of a little mental expansion, deeper fulfillment. So you see a difference between just having something at the level of senses. A lot of sugar has come and the tongue is excited about it. But your mind, on the other hand, is being distressed. In distress, what is going to happen to my sugar level? So there you see the difference between this. Just sense experience and what the mind is calculating, the mental expectation. And there again, mind has its own imaginations, dreams, fancies. How much of that to be followed? Intellect tells you. Or if you just go on with your imaginations and dreams, ignoring the intellect, what's the predicament? Just like you're riding a horse, but the horse has no goal before it, no direction. You are led by the whims of the horse. It may seem wonderful to begin with, but it will land into a terrible situation. So in other words, I'm dramatizing it. As one becomes more and more spiritually sensitive, then you know the difference between thinking and understanding, difference between emotions and just expression of love, sentimental love, the difference between just sense pleasure and something that's more gratifying in your deeper level. The difference begins to be seen by you, and the more sadhana you do, automatically it becomes clearer. Just like if you are healthy, whatever food you eat, cells know which one to pick up, where to distribute. But if you are confused, then that doesn't happen. The satsanga and daily sadhana automatically enhances your inner sensitivity in such a way that your intellect becomes highlighted. You live a style of life where intellect becomes more and more settled. And with that clarity of intellect, you are following a royal path to liberation. But with confusion of intellect, you are following a forest path full of thorns and illusions.
So then, the ego is the confused part that thinks that it's separate?
Correct. But ego again has to be understood well. You can't suddenly shut it out.
No.
Ego has three aspects: sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Sattvic, you go on encouraging. Rajasic, you go on pacifying it, like you deal with a cat or a dog. Tamasic, deal like a skunk.
Thank you, Swamiji.
That tamasic ego skunk, like laziness.
Tamasic again is of different types, you see. There is also to understand that sattva, rajas, tamas, they are normal in human personality. Only when they become abnormal that you need to control it. The tamas has to be there in order to lead you to sleep. That's normal. But if tamas makes you constantly sleepy and you prefer sleeping than doing any work, then tamas has become little aggravated. But still more aggravated if your mind picks up of many things in the world, he picks up only the bitter things and holds on to it and creates a grudge. Someone has insulted me and I am going to tooth for a tooth by the coming week Christmas. That's tamasic ego. That tamasic ego should be shut out. Too much anger, hate, greed. Not for one day, but continuous. That's dramatized as Rakshasa. They are the demons that you have to go on controlling them. Rajasic is half demon and half god. So you have to stop the demoniac, control the demoniac aspect and pick up the joyous aspect, virtuous aspect. Sattva gives you a greater clarity of what is good. But if sattva is under the domination of rajas and tamas, then it comes to your mind only for a short time and you become more confused. That's if you want to study more, you have to understand Ramayana, where Vibhishana, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they represent sattva, rajas, tamas. Vibhishana was friends of Ravana and Kumbhakarna, brothers. But there comes a time he turns away from those rajas, tamas and joins with Rama. And he goes on telling Rama how to destroy them. When sattva comes to that level, then it is perfect. Your sadhana is successful.
Good evening. You mentioned that the sadhana should be practiced every day. Could you explain at what time it starts and how it's supposed to be done in a
Let me explain to you what I mean by sadhana. Sadhana has two aspects, disciplinary and diffused. The ideal is to have diffused sadhana. You live with the spirit of sadhana. But in order to create that spirit, have a select time. And select time generally chosen by early in the morning, called Brahma Muhurta, between 4 and 6. When you wake up, the mind is very receptive. Psychologically, it is well prepared for deeper thought, for meditation. But then it's up to your choice to evolve. Certain things you try to understand. What are the things needed for my daily life to enrich my personality? And from sadhana point of view, you need japa, repetition of mantra. You need prayer, meditation, some yoga exercises, deep relaxation. Along with it, now you are led by your inspiration, how to deal with your daily life. In your daily life, try to bring four aspects of yoga called integral yoga. Whenever there is time to understand, let your mind go deep into the understanding, who am I, etc., etc. That's called jnana yoga. Raja yoga, whenever you have time to do some meditation, pranayama, etc., etc. That's called raja yoga, practice of meditation. Bhakti yoga, devotion. Devotion can be limited type, kind of sadhana type. A devotion term has a generous, a broader understanding. If you allow your good-heartedness to be effective, there is a situation, a few words of goodness coming from your mouth could help the person. If you are doing it, you are allowing the bhakti within you, bhavana, feeling within you to be enriched. The world gives you all lots of opportunity for all that. So whenever there is opportunity for allowing your heart to expand, take advantage of it. When there is no opportunity, then start writing down things which can twitter them. In other words, you should have a sharing heart, a heart that draws goodness and shares it. That's what I call bhakti yoga in a profound way. Then you are really loving God. Otherwise, it's palabras. And likewise, karma yoga. Look at the duties that you have to day by day. Do not allow yourself to be burdened by them. If you are doing them expertly, industriously, dexterously, actions that you do become kind of a joyous. You are inspired by doing it. A river that flows is happy. A stagnant river is miserable. You don't complain, how many things I have to do? No matter how much. So that becomes karma yoga. There isn't anything that you do which is not a part of your sadhana. So that's the ideal. To bring that type of spirit, that everything that you do from morning till evening, even going to sleep, is a preparation for samadhi. All is sadhana. And with sadhana spirit, you are happy, people are happy, the world is happy.
Swamiji, about the sattvic, I don't remember right now the name in the story, but when he goes to Rama, mm-hmm. he whispers, this is this subtle in life to life, this subtle thoughts in this sadhana process in progress that come to you and say, wake up, or you must do the sadhana.
That's correct. Stories of Ramayana and others, they are allegorical. The very sattva within you, if it is strong, then leads you in a profound way. If sattva is not strong, then it listens to the voice of rajas. Let me dramatize that point for you. Say, for example, you went on a travel, and early in the morning you sat by the ocean, looked at this rising sun and the shimmering water and wonderful breeze. Sattva entered your mind. Feel very happy. Then immediately what rajas does, starts whispering. You were never happy like that before. And tamas whispers, because you have come to this place. And rajas and tamas together tell you, why not buy a place right here? Go to a real estate. Borrow money. Make a building right by the ocean. And daily you will enjoy it. Now that little sattva has put you to big trouble. That's Vibhishana under the control of Ravana and Kumbhakarna. The other aspect, you go to satsang and your mind gets sattva. And that's at that time when the rajas tamas, their voices, even if they have their voice, they are only to help you. Rajas says, come daily to satsanga. Tamas says, practice more meditation. Don't do anything. So now, role of sattva has changed. So try to dramatize it. You see, that hand is rising.
Swamiji, sorry.
Okay.
Today we talked about that how Ishvara controls entire karma process.
Mm-hmm.
In a bigger picture, is Ishvara not a dream, part of the dream also?
It's always, when you allegorically things are described, there comes a problem. Everything has a context. If you say Ishvara is a part of a dream, then immediately your mind has lost the importance of Ishvara. The very possibility of waking up from a dream requires mind to be focused on a higher level. Even though Ishvara, in long range, Ishvara is not the goal. Sagun Sakar is a way to Brahman. But Sagun Sakar is the way, no other way. So only when you become Brahman, then all is dream. Until then, you are from intense dream, you are gradually waking up. Every higher level of awakening will become dream, but that should not be put into the mind to confuse the mind.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Hi, Swamiji. My question has to do with loneliness in one's heart. Is that caused by raja, tama, karma, ego, or what is it caused by, and how does one heal it?
Mix up all of them.
How does one heal it?
By integral yoga, by patience, patiently following the sadhana, and even this will pass away. Clouds do not stay. They're going to pass away. But if you get involved with sadhana, passing away will be beyond your imagination. In other words, it can be so quick that you can't even imagine it. Okay? There. Anubhav.
Thank you so much for your teachings. It's always very enriching for me. I have a question. When you mentioned that when you attain jhana, you're stopped with Brahma, Can you explain me what jhana means? Can you give me the significance?
Jhana literally means wisdom. But wisdom is of two types, theoretical and practical experience. When you are listening to the talks, mostly you are getting theoretical. Even that is a great attainment. Intellect grasps it. The theoretical knowledge now urges you practice it. Each time your mind swings to a negative, theoretical knowledge, I am deep down not negative, let me just watch over it, it is going to pass. Now you are practicing it. Each time mind comes down to a low level of thinking, how miserable am I, etc., etc. You remember, Shuddhosi, I am absolutely pure, I am absolutely Brahman, I am Ananda Swarup, Ananda. You lift the mind. So by, that's called jnana. Practice of jnana goes on lifting you from lesser to the higher. And the ultimate goal of jnana is actual experience. Jnana is like allowing light, sun to rise. In the beginning, it's just put a little nose with little whiskers. Then it rises. The whole process is jhana until full illumination.
Three states of consciousness, waking, dream and deep sleep. Mm-hmm. Turiya, Swamiji, I'd like to understand Turiya and Turiya Tita. You can please give us more depth of understanding.
Firstly, Turiya and Turiya Tita is just the same thing. Same thing. Because you have been thinking of the three states, and you have gotten out of it. So as long as there is a little shadow of the three states there, you are in the fourth, Turiya. But if that shadow has completely gone away, you are Turiya Tita. Even that Turiya level that still reminds you of your lesser level, then it is Turiya. But when it no longer reminds of the lesser level, Turiya Tita. So this is just a play of words. Like Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. Which one should I have?
Pure awareness.
Automatically. You have come out of darkness and still some dark thoughts are still there. But now you are in full blaze. And both are automatic. So you have no need to struggle. Should I be Turiya? Shouldn't I go into Turiya Tita?
To understand the difference.
No, I'm elaborating for people to understand the difference.
Clear. Thank you, Swamiji. Any more questions? Swamiji, I believe it was 2 weeks ago in the Yoga Vashishta, if I'm correct, you were explaining about the breath, sort of a visual.
Prana Chintan.
Yes.
Allowing, associate the breath with a meditative process, with breathing in, feel so is entering within you. Breathing out, you are casting out all the ego, all the limitations. There are different plans. The simple plan is soham. So breathing in. That means God alone is, and you have just vacated everything from within yourself so that God can dwell with you. Hum, all the garbage out.
Yes.
That's one of the different ways of doing things.
Exactly. And that is part of the question. Mm-hmm. As you just said, so, for example, if in a teaching a Hatha Yoga class, for example, I say, breathe in, but sometimes, particular place, discomfort.
That's perfectly good. Follow the plan.
So there's so many ways.
So many ways. This type of sadhana is not limited. It's not mathematics. It's like an art.
So, for example, it can also be breathing all the, you just said.
Oh, yes. Use your imagination.
But then breathe out all the goodness you have.
If you breathe out all the goodness, if you breathe out all the goodness, feel the entire world is good.
And you give.
You are a fish in a lake. Well, you breathe in water, you breathe out water. Goodness flows into you, goodness flows out of you. That's what the fish does, you see. Fish, water is in and out. You are in Ananda Sagar, a fish.
So this is really very big. Pranayama, I mean, the breath control is such a
These are all big subjects, you see. Just like when you say mathematics, how big it is? Practice of control of pranayama, vast subject.